for today. Let's open up our scriptures to the book of St. Luke, chapter number 10. I'm going to read verses number 30 through verse 37. Luke 10, verse 30 through verse 37. And also, when you found your place there, hold your place there, turn back to the book of Matthew. I'm going to read one verse, chapter 25, verse 40 there. Luke 10, 30 through 37, and also in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse number 40. And share a message about excuses or encouragement. Let's read from Luke, first of all, chapter number 30. Chapter 10, excuse me, verse number 30 through verse 37. Very familiar scripture, I know, when you hear it read again. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, 'He that showed mercy on him.' Then said Jesus unto him, 'Go and do thou likewise.'" Also, look in the book of St. Matthew, chapter number 25 and verse number 40. "And the king shall answer and say unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me.'" You know, any time and every time we meet a Christian brother or a Christian sister, or if we meet a person who's an unbeliever who's never professed to know Jesus Christ, we ought to always keep Jesus the main focus and keep Jesus in the very forefront of our conversation with them or our meeting with them. Now, why do you say that, Pastor? I'll tell you why I say that. If you meet a Christian, you're meeting a person in whom Jesus lives. If you meet an unchristian, unbeliever, lost person, you also meet a person for whom Jesus died.
That's right. That's right.
So, when we meet each other, whether they're saved or lost, doesn't matter. We ought to treat every person we meet as if we were ministering unto Jesus. And we'll learn to treat them as Jesus would treat them, wouldn't we? If that doesn't help our people skills today, I'm not so sure what would. What do you think about it? Well, there's a joy that comes from doing good for other people. I hope you've realized that joy in your life at some point in time. Well, as Jesus said here in Matthew 25, as we do good for other people, it's as if we were doing it unto our Lord Jesus. And we ought to stop and look at it that way. When we minister to other people, do good things for other people, we ought to remember and get a joy that we're doing it as if we were doing it unto the Lord Himself. Matthew 25, verse 40 makes that very crystal clear, doesn't it? Then, you know, there's also a reward in doing good for other people. Jesus, on another occasion, said that if you just render a cup of water to someone in the name of Jesus, and for Jesus' sake, you will in no wise lose your reward. So it doesn't seem to be how big or how small, whatever it may be, there's a reward and doing good for others. And I don't believe we ought to ever do things for other people just so we can feel good or get a reward. That's not why we should do them. But nonetheless, there's a joy in it, isn't there? And there's also a reward in it, isn't there? Jesus says, well, when you serve others, Jesus said, it's the same thing as if you were serving me. Well, we ought to begin to look at situations when we meet people and see folks that have problems and need help. We all just stop and just think. Just really think. What would Jesus do? I know there's that wristband that a lot of people wear, WWJD. What would Jesus do? That's good theology, really it is. We ought to stop and we meet people who have needs. We ought to just stop and just think. Now, if Jesus were here, and if Jesus were here in the flesh and facing the same situation that you or I may be facing today, indeed, what would he do? And I think more often than not, we know what Jesus would do, don't we? But alas, how far short we fall sometimes in doing what we know Jesus would do. And we ought to do what Jesus would do. Not part of the time, some of the time, not once in a while, but every time. We ought to do that. Well, this passage I've read that we face today really brings out and illustrates the glory and the goodness in doing good for others. And I want you to look at it with me. There's something here we can learn. I just picked out two particular elements here that I see. There are many others, and there has been many more preached from. There will be in the future. But there's two great things here that I see in this passage that I want to share with us today. The first of these truths is this. It comes from the positive side, and it also comes from the negative side. I want you to see with me, first of all, the blessing in doing good. Jesus said in that chapter 25 of Matthew and verse 40, as we do good to others, it's the same as if you were doing it unto me. When's the last time that you can recall in your life that it felt good in your heart, that you felt good in your life when you were able to do something to help somebody else or to do good for somebody else? Better to know that when you did it as if unto the Lord. And you are serving the Lord, but at the same time, Jesus said you are ministering unto the Lord Himself. I know we don't do it to get a reward, or at least we shouldn't. If we do, it's a wrong motive. I know we shouldn't do it to just make us feel good, and we shouldn't do it for that reason either. But there comes a joy and a blessing in doing good for others. Now, look at this story we read. Go back to this passage and look at this story of the Samaritan who helped this man who was in dire need. This was an injured man. He had been robbed. He had been beaten. He had been thrown aside and left, as far as those thieves were concerned, they left him for dead. Surely this man needed somebody to do some good to him, didn't he? Surely this man needed some dire help, didn't he? He was helpless. It looked like it was hopeless for him. Nobody seemed to care, but along comes a Samaritan. And I want you to see three things that took place as this Samaritan, from the positive side, helped this man, ministered to this man, cared for this man. And Jesus said, what you see here, He said, you go and you do the same thing. Go thou, He says, and do likewise. Well, what is it that we see here that this Samaritan did for the injured man that we ought to be doing today? Maybe if we can see these things, maybe we can learn some things. First of all, notice what he did. He came by the man just as the priest and the Levite. But when he saw the man, the Bible says he had compassion on him. Look at verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, you need to understand something about this Samaritan. He was no doubt a businessman. He was on a business journey. He came to and from this place quite often, from to Jerusalem and back, and he was on a business trip. And in his journeys to wherever it was he was going to do business, he comes upon this man. And he had compassion, the Bible says, on him. Why did he have compassion on him? This injured man was no kin to him. This injured man was no relationship to him, as far as we know. He didn't owe this man anything. He had no dealings whatsoever, probably didn't even know who this guy was. So why did he stop and have compassion on this man? He had no reason, we might think today, to even stop and have compassion upon him, except for one thing. The main thing was this. He saw a fellow human who was in dire straits, who had been left for dead. And he saw a fellow human who really needed some help. And his heart was moved within him. And the Bible says he had compassion on him. He felt compelled to stop and help this man. Does that speak to us at all? It should. It should tell us the same thing it told this Samaritan. That we ought to have compassion on people in their needs and in their injuries and whatever problem it is that they're having in their life. It doesn't matter if the one we see in need is kin to us or not. It doesn't matter if we know them or not. It doesn't matter if they're part of our church or not. It doesn't matter if they know the Lord or not. It doesn't matter what color they are or not. If it's a human fellow being and they're in dire straits and in need, then we ought to have compassion on them. Amen? As a church collectively and as people individually. The Bible says he had compassion on him. The only thing that really mattered to this Samaritan was that this man was in trouble. This man was dying. And if somebody didn't do something, he wasn't going to make it. So he stopped and he had compassion on him. Jesus had the Apostle John to write. Now I want you to listen to what John said. In the first epistle of John, in chapter 3, verse 17, listen to what John wrote. John wrote in 1 John 3:17, he says this, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" What is John saying? If you see somebody in need and you don't have compassion on them, don't you even say the love of God dwells in you. Don't you say, "Oh, how I love Jesus." When you see somebody in need and you fail to help them, he said, "God help us. We're in trouble." We're to have compassion on people. Listen to me. No excuses. No exclusions, no exemptions. This Samaritan's a good example to us, isn't he? We must never pass up an opportunity to do good for somebody who's in need. I said there were three things he did. First of all, he had compassion on this injured man. Look at the second thing he did. He showed a consideration for this man's need. Look at verse 34. And the Bible said, "And went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him." He saw the man was injured. He saw the man was dying. He saw the man needed help. So he comes, and he goes to him, and he begins to render aid to this man. The Bible says he binds up this man's wounds as best he can in the field. He gives him first aid, medical help, as much as he could, in the situation where he found him, and he revived him enough to set him on his own beast. And he walked and took this man to an inn where no doubt he went to and fro from time to time on his business trips. He knew the inn. He knew the innkeeper. So he takes this man to this inn, and he gets a room for him. And he puts him in the room, and he pays for the room. He pays for the medical cost. He wants to be sure that this man is going to recover. So, Why did he do this? He didn't have to. Why did he do this? He wasn't obligated to some religious rule to do this, so why did he do this? Why didn't he do what the priest and the Levite did? Just turn his head and walk on by and not want to get involved. Listen to me. The reason Jesus Christ left us on this earth is to get involved in people's lives. So he showed consideration for this man. And remember, this injured man was a Jew, and this man was a Samaritan. The Jews had no dealings whatsoever with Samaritans. They hated Samaritans. But look at something. This Samaritan had some dealings with the Jew. He's a better man, wasn't he? See, he stopped and he rendered help. How remarkable. What does this portion of this scripture say to us? Does it say anything to us? It ought to say this. When we see a person in need and needs help, we should have compassion upon them and we should consider their own position. We shouldn't just stop and say, well, we need to investigate this situation a little bit and see if he needs help or not. See if he deserves us to help him. Listen, it doesn't matter if he deserved it or not. He needed help. This man didn't just investigate him and come back later and say, well, maybe I'll help him because I think he might need it. No, no, no. What a blessing this man had in store, this Samaritan, for showing compassion and consideration for another. What a blessing it'll be, church, for us to show compassion and provide care and consideration for others, regardless of their situation. I said there were three things he did. He had compassion on the man. He showed consideration for the man in his need. But look at a third thing he did. He provided care for this man beyond that initial contact. Look at verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Notice something about this Samaritan. He took the man to the inn, got him a room, got him some medical care, and he spent the night with him to be sure that he was indeed going to recover. The Bible says the next morning when he started to continue his journey, wherever it was he was going, whatever it was he was going to do, before he left, he talks to the innkeeper, the host, the Bible says. No doubt he knew this guy, and this guy knew him. And he said, I'm going to leave you some money. 2 pence, the Bible says here. I'm going to leave you this amount of money, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take my journey. And I'll be coming back this way. You know that I do. I come to and fro quite often. You know me. You know I'm dependable. You know I'm trustworthy. I'm leaving you some money. And when I come back on my journey, I'm going to stop back by to see how this man's doing, to see if he's recovered, to see if he's gone on his way. And by the way, if you spend more than I have left you for this man's care, I'm going to pay whatever it costs to get this poor man back on his feet and down the road of life. How remarkable is that? Did he have to do this? Was he obligated to do this? No. Out of the compassion in his heart and the consideration for this man, he wanted to provide care for this man, and he provided that care for this man. He didn't just see another person in need and just pass him by. That's the positive side of this story. Doing good for others as an individual or as a church. But I want you to turn with me now to the other side of this story. And I want you to see the burden of doing nothing. The blessing of doing good, but I want you to see the negative side, the burden of doing nothing. Look at verse 31 and verse 32. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. What I see here in these two verses appalls me. It should appall the church. Does it affect you? Does it speak to you? Does it say anything to you? If it does, what does it say? I'll tell you what it says to me. It says to me, I want you to see the burden of doing nothing to help anybody else. There's a loss involved here. And this burden of doing nothing causes a loss. It causes the loss to the priest and to the Levite. It causes us a loss today in the same three areas that it cost this priest and this Levite. First of all, it cost them a loss of their sensitivity to others. The priest comes by. He looks at the man and just passes on. A little bit later, a Levite, we'd call a layman today, pastor and layman, priest and Levite. Here the Levite now comes by. And he looks on the man, and he passes on by too. Why did that priest pass this man by and do nothing? Why did this Levite behind him come by and look at him also and do nothing? It's like so many people today, when they see others in need, they just maybe look, and they try not to look, and they just kind of turn their head and scoot on by. They don't want to get involved. Many times, beloved, the church does the same thing that they did. We ignore people sometimes, and we glance at them and go by the other way, and we don't seem to want to get involved. The priest might have had the attitude, well, now, you know, those thieves that beat this guy and robbed him, they might still be lurking somewhere nearby, and if I tarry here to help him, they may beat me and rob me and leave me for dead also. Well, after all, you know, I'm going up to the temple, and I have duties, responsibilities in the temple, and if I touch this man and defile my hands, I can't go and do in the temple what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. So he justifies doing nothing by going on by. Well, not long after, here comes the Levite, the layperson. And he's not far behind the preacher, the priest. And he also sees this guy. And he might have seen the priest come by and look at this man and do nothing and just pass on his way. And he might have just thought, well, if the priest didn't feel like this man needed any help, then I'm not going to help him either. If the priest didn't think he was worthy of being helped, I'm not going to help him either. So many times, that spiritual chain of sin, you might say, is passed on one from another. Well, why shouldn't the priest have helped him? Why shouldn't the Levite have helped him? Both of them had lost their sensitivity to the need of other people. We need to be careful, church. We need to be careful, Christians, any individual. We all need to be careful that we never lose our sensitivity to the needs of other people. Well, have we come to that position today? Have we found ourselves sometimes as a church or as a person in that same kind of position this priest and Levite was in and did nothing to help them? If we did, and if we have, we've lost our sensitivity to other people's needs. But I want you to see a second loss that they encountered here that we could also encounter just as well. They didn't just lose their sensitivity to a person in need. They lost an opportunity to help this person in need. You remember the Bible says that when the priest came, he passed on by. And here likewise comes the Levite. And he also just passed him on by. Well, didn't the priest and the Levite see this man long enough to know that this man was probably dying? This man needed help. He was injured. He was helpless. It was going to be soon hopeless for him, and he needed help. Don't you know they realized that this man really did need help? To make it personal to us today, I want you to remember what the writer James said in his epistle. James said, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what?
Sin."
Both the priest and the Levite committed the sin of omission. They regarded him as not worthy for help. He didn't need our help. We're not going to give him our help. We're going to pass on by. And both of them committed a sin. What does that say to us today? If we see people in need and we do nothing, church, listen, we have sinned. If I do that, if you do that individually, and you see somebody in need, you don't help them, then you've committed a sin. But the loss was a loss of their sensitivity first, and after that, then they lose their opportunity. Same thing happens today. If we don't take advantage of the opportunities that God puts before us, God may not give us another opportunity. So they lost their opportunity. See what a great burden it is. To do nothing? To do nothing is worse than doing something, even if something you do is not sufficient. It's worse than doing nothing. No, it's not. Doing nothing is the worst thing they could have done. Well, there's a third loss I want you to see. The third great burden of doing nothing is a loss of sensitivity, a loss of opportunity. But I want you to see one more thing. To them here, it was a loss of ministry. Look at verse 36 and 7 here in this same passage. Jesus asked this question. "Which now of these three thinkest thou? Was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise." Jesus asked a very pertinent, very personal question to this man who inquired. Who do you think of these three, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan? Which of these three do you think really was a neighbor unto this man? Which of these three really ministered to this man's need? Which of these three do you really believe really reached out to him in his dire moment of need? And of course, he had to answer. It had to have been the Samaritan, because he was the only one out of the three who reached out to this man. Now, we know that the Samaritan, from the story, we can't even assume that this Samaritan man, this businessman, even knew the Lord. The Bible doesn't say he was a Christian. The Bible doesn't say he trusted in God. The Bible didn't say he was a believer, or it didn't say he was an unbeliever. Nonetheless, it just does not say. But if you look at him as even an unbeliever, he didn't pass the man up. So he stops and he renders help to the man. Listen, he knew this. Whether he knew the Lord or not himself, he knew this man needed help. And this man wasn't going to make it without somebody helping him. So he stops and he renders what help that he can. And Jesus says to this man who asks, which of these three, Jesus said, you think was best to minister to him? Well, of course, a Samaritan. At least Jesus said, then you go and you do the very same thing to somebody else that this Samaritan did for this man. What did this man do? He had compassion on the man. What did this man do? He showed consideration for this man. What did the Samaritan do? He rendered care for this man until he got back on his feet again. Listen, do we do that? Well, let me ask a better question. Will we do that from this day forward? I go back to my original title, Excuses or Encouragement. Every single one of us, every single New Testament church is either one of two things. We're either an excuse for others doing nothing because they see us doing nothing, Or, on the other hand, we are an encouragement to others. When they see us doing good, it will encourage them to do good also. So each of us is either an excuse or an encouragement to other people. Now, which are we? Are we the excuse or are we the encouragement? You see, it doesn't matter how rich or how poor we are. It doesn't matter how much resources or lack thereof that our church might have. We've got to look at things as how rich we are in Christ Jesus. And reach out and help others. Do good for others for two reasons. For Jesus' sake and in Jesus' name. I don't want to be an example like the priest. I don't want to be an example like the Levite. Do you? I don't want our church to be an example of the priest or the Levite. I don't want our church, I don't want my life to be an excuse that others can look at me or look at our church and say, well, they don't care. They won't do anything, so I won't do anything either. I don't want to be like that. Who's our example? Jesus is our example in all things. Is He not? And listen, has Jesus ever failed to give us what we need and when we need it when we're called upon to help somebody? He always gives us what we need, and He gives it to us when we need it to help somebody else. And Jesus in another place said this, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So you see, let's not be excuses. Let's be encouragers, amen? And let's render help where we see it, where God reveals it to us. The blessings are great for doing good. The burden is horrible for doing nothing. May God help us to do good. Maybe today you've listened, the Spirit of God spoken in your heart. There's something in your life, maybe an opportunity God's placed before you, and you've done nothing. And later on, you really regretted it. It hurts. I've been there. Our church I know has been there. Probably you've been there too. I don't want to be in that place again. I don't want our church to be in that place again. I know that each of us at some point in time has had a hurt in our life. I can relate to my life as you relate to yours. How I thank God that God sent somebody my way to help me when I was in time of need. Couldn't you say amen to that? Yes. Couldn't I get a witness on that? Amen. So you see, God may choose to want to use you today to help somebody else. Maybe you're in need today. Maybe you've never seen the need to reach out to God's people. Maybe we've never seen the need in your life. Maybe we don't know about the need in your life unless you let us know. But we want to do the right thing. We want to do the good thing, don't we? God help us never to do zero.